A series on Pachad Yitzchak for Chanukah. We want to begin tonight Maimer Vav. And we begin by looking at the Shibud, the subjugation of Knesset Yisrael to the nations of the world. And there were many such subjugations, many Golios, many exiles. But what's unique about the Golos of Yavon is the fact that we find for the first time a phenomenon called the Misyavnim. In Bavel, we don't find that Jews became Misbavlim, or in Golos Asher, Misashrim. In Golos Yavon, however, we have a frontal confrontation with not only the Yavonim, but also the Misyavnim. These are people of Jewish descent that became Hellenized. They took upon themselves the traditions and the cultures of Yavon, and they were the enemies of the Jewish people. We've discussed in the past the concept of Maisa Avos Simon Libonim, and we spoke about the struggle, the confrontation between Yaakov Avinu and the Soro Shel Esav. We spoke about the fact that Yaakov Avinu was injured, and about the fact that from this whole story came something called the Misyavnim. But now we want to speak about the Misyavnim as it relates to the Bonim, not the Maisa Avos, but to the Bonim themselves. The source for the Misyavnim is in the Parsha of the Tochacha in Bechukosai, where the Torah says, Uredubachem Sonechem. So the Pasuk mentions Sonechem in Torah Bechsav. The Torah doesn't spell out who these Oivim are, who these Sonim are, in Perek Chavav mi Sefer Vayikra. But the Sifra, the Torah's Kohanim, on the spot says that Hareini Mamid Sonim Michem Ubachem. In other words, when the Pasuk says Bachem Sonechem, the Sifra adds Michem Ubachem, from amongst you and in and on top of you, so to speak. And the Rashi Mishnah, who's the great Baal HaTosfos super commentary on the Sifra, says Kigon Bidoro Shel Shmad. Meaning, where do we find Sonim amongst the Jewish people, descendants, those who had Jewish blood? It's in a case of Shmad. When our enemies try to torture us, to force us to give up our religion, and those who unfortunately cannot withstand the pressure, and they kowtow to the enemies, they themselves become enemies. And that's Michem Ubachem. Now, the confrontation with Yavon is essentially a Gzeras Shmad, and the first in the history of the Jewish nation. The Yavonim are not trying to kill us, but rather trying to undermine our religion. It's religious persecution. And for the first time, we have the Gzeres Shmad to try to get the Jews to give up their religion. And the first experience or expression, therefore, of Michem Bachem is connected with Golos Yavon. The people who tried to subjugate us and persecute us in order to force us to give up our religion, these were both Michem Ubachem, which includes the Misyavnim, not just the Yavonim. What we'd like to look for is a deeper meaning to this phenomenon, to the fact that the Tochacha in Parshas Bechukosai comes to fulfillment, to fruition, dafka in the experience of Yavon, in the phenomenon of the Misyavne Michem Bachem. These are enemies from within who attack us. And we've mentioned in the past that the Misyavnim were amongst the relatives of Chachmei Yisrael even. And they were responsible for giving the Yavanim the clues as to how to persecute the Jews, which religious institutions to pinpoint and to try to undermine and get the Jews to violate those. These Eitzos came from the Misyavnim. We want to take a look at the first Ramban in Parshas Baaloscha, and that's on the question of the Smichus HaParshios between the Parsha of the Menorah at the beginning of Baaloscha and the Parsha of the Chanukah Sanasim at the end of Parshas Noso. And the Ramban writes that the Chanukas HaMenorah Shel Chashmonoim supersedes, it's even greater than the Chanukas HaMishkan of the Nesiim. Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to the Menachem Moshe, he says, Chayecha Shelcha Gedola Mishalahem. Because although the Kohanim and those who serve in the Migdash have the unique mitzvos of the Migdash, but nevertheless, those mitzvos will terminate with the churban. Masha Enkein, the mitzvah of Chanukah is Beis Chashmonoi, that's a mitzvah for all generations. Chachomim, therefore, understood that the Smichus Parshios, the fact that the menorah is being given, is a symbol, is an allusion to not the menorah of the Mishkan, that for sure, but to the menorah of the Beis Chashmonoim. And on that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Gedola Shalcha Gedola Mishalahem. It means, the Chanukah Sanasim, they brought the Karbonos, but that's not an impression, an impact that's going to continue for all generations. With the Churban Abayis, it's gone. There's no longer Chanukah Sanasim. But in the case of Chanukah's Beis Chashmonoi, what we're left with is the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, and that mitzvah is Lidoros. And if it's Lidoros, and it's not time limited, and it applies even after the Churban, then in that sense it is one up on the Chanukah Sanasim. That was the nature of the consolation which was given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Aaron Ubanov when they had Chalish Sadas, because of the fact that they were left out of the Chanukah Sanasim. Yours is a greater mitzvah. Your Ner Chanukah will last for all generations. It's not limited in time, as is the Chanukah and the mitzvah of Baaloscha with regard to the Shemen Shebemigdash. Now, we find something very interesting with regard to Chanukah's Beis Chashmonoi as a mitzvah of Doros, and we find a certain parallelism when we think about the world of the individual. What we mean to say is the following. There's a fundamental difference between two ways of understanding the principle of Chanoch Lanar Al Pi Darko. That principle, which is based on a pasuk in Mishle Chaf Beis, is a principle that guides us in terms of Chinuch. And we can understand it on two levels. On one level, Chanoch Lanar Al Pi Darko Gam Ki Yazkin Lo Yosir Mimeno means basically that the Nar who is trained, who is educated based on the derech of his Rebbe, lo yosur min haderech hasholech, he will not depart and deviate from that derech. That's on a simple level. But if we get a little bit deeper, it means that not only will he not go off, gam ki yazkin lo yosur mincha, he will not deviate from the derech, but it's more than that. And that is that the Nar, who's mischanech, who is educated and trained based on the derech, the methodology, and the worldview of his Rebbe, Lo yosur milios mischanech. Meaning there's something essential about being a mischanech that's going to accompany the student, or the nar in this case, for the rest of his life. What we're saying is, ki nar ha-mischanech al pi darko, lo yosur milios mischanech. Meaning, once you're a student, you're always a student. You're always involved in learning, and learning from your Rebbe, who trained you. The derech includes being a mischanech. In other words, it's not just that there's a derech, a methodology, and an approach, a Weltanschauung, a worldview, and a system of statutes that you follow. And that approach and that way of life that you've received, the derech that you've received from your Rebbe, from your mentor, is continuous. The chinuch that you got is lefi shah. The chinuch you got was for an hour, a day, a month, a year, 2 years, 10 years. But whatever it is, you've gotten that chinuch. You're on the path. This is the path that your Rebbe wants you to go on. You will continuously go on that path, but the chinuch is already behind you. After the chinuch period ends, you go on the path. But the second way of understanding this pasuk in Mishlei, which is much more profound, is that not only are you on a derech that is continuous, but the chinuch process is continuous. You never stop being a mischanech. You're always, always learning and trying to emulate your Rebbe. If we take, for example, the case of Chanukas HaMishkan by the Nesiim at the end of Parshas Naso, that represents the first approach, because from that Chanukas HaMishkan and the Nesiim, what we're left with after the process is complete is the Kedusha that they were trained for, whatever that Kedusha is, whatever the Avodah and the Mishkan is going to be. But the Hischanchus process has come to a halt. It was limited in time, and now it passes time. Over Zmano, Batal Karbono, Batal Hischanchus. That's relevant to the Chanukas HaMishkan of the Nesiim. However, in contrast, we have a much deeper understanding of Chanoch Lenar, etc., etc. And that is represented, if you will, by the Chanukas HaChashmonoim, because their Hischanchus is transformed into an ongoing, continuous process or tendency or involvement. It's a Kinyan L'doros. And in the case of the menorah, which was lit by the Chashmonoim, and which engendered our menorah for all generations, our Ner Chanukah, this is anchored in the very unique character of what the Purkan, the saving, the salvation from Yavan, is all about. So again, what we're setting as our goal here is to try to figure out what is the deeper meaning of this phenomenon of the Misyavnim, and secondly, to try to appreciate and define the consolation, the description of the Chanukas HaChashmonoim as L'doros, and how that is related to a very special dimension of the saving of Klal Yisrael from Yavan. Something is very unique here about the Chinuch HaMenorah al Yedei HaChashmonoim, and that's what we want to understand. The Chachamim have taught us in the Medrash on Esther. The Medrash in Esther Rabbah quotes the pasuk, Pischi li achosi rayosi onosi samosi, and darshins each one of these words. from the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Achosi is Bavel. Rayasi is Madai. Yonasi is Yavan. And Tamasi is Edom. Why is Yonasi the name that is chosen for Yavan? How did Chazal know that if they want to find a word in this pasuk that refers to Yavan, it's going to be Yonasi? Is it just simply the Yud Vav Nun of Yonah? In fact, however, at the time of Chanukah, at the time of the Chashmonaim, they were makriv karbonos on the Mizbeach, including Torim u'bnei Yonah. It means that what this Medrash is pointing out is that at the very moment, in the very historical period and context of the Nes of Chanukah, the Beis Hamikdash is up and working. And even though the Yevonim defiled the Mikdash, nevertheless the Chashmonaim would be mechanich the Mikdash. And they weren't creating a new Kedusha that didn't exist beforehand, but rather just removing certain elements of Tumah. So the very special nature or character of Shibud Yavan, of being subjugated to Yavan, is expressed itself in the fact that Malchus Yavan is the only Malchus of all the different kingships and kingdoms and exiles. It's the only one when Nishtabdu Yisrael Etzlam, that during this period of time in which Malchus Yavan subjugated the Jewish people, Asher kol meshach yimei shtabdusa b'Yisrael cholu b'zman shebeis hamigdash hayakayim. And what this means is that the shibud of Yavan from beginning to end coincides or overlaps the zman of Beis HaMikdash. What is the deeper meaning of that special, unique nature of Chanukah? And we're going to read the words of the Maharal Prague in his work on Chanukah, which is called Ner Mitzvah, and see if we can shed more of a light on what's going on here. The Maharal writes, Ki Nes HaMenorah Miyucha L'Golus L'Geulas Yavan. When we talk about the redemption, the salvation from Yavan, the menorah is the outstanding symbol of that process of Geula. Why? B'nei sh'amenorah misyacheseshi el koach ha'chochma. In other words, when we talk about harotza shiachkim yajrim, which means turn towards the south when you daven, the menorah was in that direction. It was towards the south. The ikar in yona shel yavan, hu b'koach ha'chochma miyuchad lo. The Maharal continues and he says that not only is the miracle of the menorah a phenomenon which sets apart Chanukah as something very special, not like other Moadim, it's unique. But more than that, moreover, what was bothering Yavan? Why did they come and attack the Jewish people? The answer is because Yavan had a unique Chochmah, a Koach HaChochmah. And therefore, its objection and confrontation with Yisrael was deliberate and directed, dafka, and the victim was going to be the Chachamim of Knesset Yisrael. In other words, antithesis of Yisrael, which is Yavan, meaning the Yavan has an inherent objection and to Yisrael, they are repulsed by Yisrael. That is really reflected in their hatred, if you will, of Chochmas Yisrael and Chachmei Yisrael. So the great miracle of the Purkan, the salvation from Yavan, is related to the Avodas Hadlokas HaMenorah. The Chashmonaim are going to be given this mitzvah, not exclusively, but they have to share it with others, but at least they'll gain a whole bunch of points. And that is because the Purkan is related to the Avodas Hadlokas HaMenorah. And this fact really has an impact to greatly expand our appreciation of Hanukkah, to shed a new light on the Koach of Chochmei Yisrael in Knesset Yisrael. Fundamentally, Yavan represents the Koach HaChochma. And that's something unique in that the Greeks excelled in knowledge, in philosophy, in the study of the universe, in science as we know it. And therefore, it became the opponent of Klal Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael has its unique Chachma. So it's like pitting one Chachma against the other, almost like a jealousy of sorts. And the miracle of Purkan of Yavan, that we were successful in warding off Yavan, that Purkan is related to the Avodah of Hadlokas HaMenorah. The miracle of Chanukah is going to reflect itself, express itself in the Hadlokas HaMenorah. And that's why Aaron Ubanov are given a consolation that there will be a menorah that will be lit endlessly, infinitely, without any termination. And this Avodah, if we can call it that, of Hadlokas HaMenorah, it achieves a great increase in the power of the Chachma of Knesset Yisrael. And we always say that the Shemen Zayis of the Ner represents the Seichel, or represents the holy part of Knesset Yisrael as it relates to Torah, Yediyah, Chachma. So it's not coincidental that the Ness expressed itself in the menorah itself, insofar as the menorah is the symbol of Chachma, because the entire battle and the confrontation between Yavan and Klal Yisrael was the confrontation between Chachma and Torah. Now, this fundamental point about the essence of the objection or the battle that Yavan waged against Yisrael needs a little bit of explanation, because we find amongst the various gzeros, the decrees of Yavan, there are those that have no connection whatsoever with Chachma. For example, we have in the Gemara in Ksuvis a statement of the Hegmon. The Hegmon was the, you know, in the Greek culture, he was one of the heads of state, so to speak, or heads of province. Kol besula haniseis tiboil hegmon tchila. Any woman who gets married, first she's brought to the hegmon. This, as established by the Gemara Ksuvis, was part of Yavan and their campaign. That doesn't seem to have anything to do with the Chachma, the confrontation of Chachma between Chachmas Yavan and Chachmas Yisrael. So how do we fit this gzera and, shall we say, religious persecution against the Jews into the perspective of Chachma versus Chachma, the Chachma of Yavan versus the Chachma of Torah? Rashi, by the way, says that Noshim are obligated in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah based on the principle of Af Hein Hayu Biyoso Nes. What he means to say is that the same gzera that was decreed against the Jewish people included the women folk as well, and they had to save themselves by getting out of there. In any event, The source for this understanding is the Braisa in Megillus Tainus. This Braisa will give us an insight into Chochmas Yavan and its campaign against Chochmas HaTorah. The Braisa in Megillus Tainus states that on the eighth day of the month of Teves, we fast, the Jewish people fast, because what happened on the eighth day of Teves, the Torah was translated into Yavanis. V'choshech yorad li'olam, and bleak despair fell upon the people. We want to understand the nature of this Titus that commemorates the translation of the Torah into Greek. Why is that so bleak? And Chazal say, Hachoshech, that the darkness, Asher Targum Hazeh, Horid Li'olam, that this translation of the Torah into Greek brought such a thick and bleak darkness. Ba Mipnei Asher Al Yidei Targum Hazeh Niskayim Achizoyon Ki Asidim U'Masa'olam Lomar Ani Yisrael. Why is this a very dark day? The day in which the Septuagint, as we call it, the translation of the Bible into Greek. And Chazal say in the Medrash Tanchuma that the reason for for this Choshech is because the Greeks had a vision. They had a dream, they had a goal. They had an agenda. And what was it? It was to take over, to usurp the position of Klal Yisrael. And the Umas HaOlam wanted to claim Ani Yisrael, Anu Yisrael, that we are the chosen people. It's no longer the Israelites. We have now taken over. We are the new lineage. And we substitute, we replace Knesset Yisrael. Because at the root of it, the translation of the Torah into Greek was part and parcel of this campaign that the Yavanim were involved in to confuse us, confuse everyone about the concept of Havdolas Yisrael Bein Ha'amim, the separate, unique status of the Jewish people amongst the nations. There's a word in Hebrew called Tishtush. Tishtush means a tashtesh, is to take something and make it murky. You know, you start erasing something, it's no longer legible. What the Targum wanted to do is take this concept of Avdolas Yisrael, the unique status of the Jewish people in the nations, and be metashlish it. Strip it of its clarity, of its color. Make it into some sort of fog. There is no difference between Yisrael and Yamin. We, say the Goyim, can be Anu Yisrael. And how so? When we grab onto the Torah. How did we grab onto the Torah? Because the Yavanim, Talmai HaMelech, had the Torah translated into Greek. That gives the Greeks a Yad, a Kinyan in Torah. And Itaka reduces the Avdolah between Yisrael and Amin. And what we see from this is that Ha'uma Miyuchedes L'Tishtush Zehu Yavan. If we're defining Yavan, then we should say it represents a unique nation. And that already begins to confuse us, because we say the Jewish nation is unique, it was chosen, but now we're saying no, the Ummah HaYavanis is the chosen Ummah. And here we have a Zelu Ummah Zeh situation. We have one extreme, polar extreme against the other. Knesset Yisrael, in its very essence, fundamentally, represents the Havdalah of Yisrael, separating Klal Yisrael from the nations. So when you formulate the principle that the Jewish nation is separate from the nations, it's unique, the Zelu Mazeh becomes Yavan, because now Yavan can claim Anu Yisrael, they have the Torah as well, because they translated the Torah into Greek. And they are the Zelu Mazel of the Havdalah Ben Yisrael Amen, because now there's a counterclaim out there in the air, in the environment. And that's being generated by the Yevanim, and as a result specifically of translating the Torah. And that counter-argument says that no, it's not Yisrael that's separate from the Am. Maybe that was once true, but now it's us guys, it's Yavan. We are separate, we are a unique nation amongst the nations. We have the Torah because it was translated into our language. That's the claim of the Greeks. And this doesn't seem to reflect what we were suggesting earlier about Zelu Maseh. And that is that Yavan is the contrast to Klal Yisrael because of Chachma. We have Chachma and they have Chachma. That's why there's such a sharp and profound confrontation between Yavan and Klal Yisrael. How does that jive, how does that reflect or integrate with the fact that in the root of the matter, what the Yevanim are trying to do is they're trying to say, Anu Yisrael, that God may have in the past chosen the Jewish nation, but now we, the Yevanim, are the chosen people. We took over the Torah. And here we're saying something else, that the confrontation between Yavan and Knesset Yisrael is Chachma versus Chachma. And from Chazal it would seem that there are two types, if you will, of choshech, of darkness, which the Yevanim brought into the world of Knesset Yisrael. One darkness is the translation of the Torah into Greek that was completed on the 8th of Teves, and choshech, darkness, descended upon the earth, as we saw in the Brisa of Megillas Tainis. But when Chazal identify Yavan with Choshech, there's an entirely different Choshech, and that is the gzeros, the decrees of religious persecution, Hashkachas HaTorah, in the confrontation between the Yavanim and Klal Yisrael. And that's why Chachamim say V'choshech al pnei tahom at the beginning of Bereishis, that's an allusion to Yavan Shechshicha Einayim Shel Yisrael B'gzerosel. So the first choshech is engendered by the translation of the Torah into Greek. The second is by the religious persecution of Hashkachas HaTorah. But whether you're dealing with the first darkness or the second darkness, there is historically, chronologically, a great deal of time, of an interruption of time, of many generations, between the first and the second. The time of Talmai was way, way, way before the time period that we're talking about now with the Gzero Shmad and the Hashkachas HaTorah in the Pulmus of the Yevanim against the Jews. So how do we reconcile this? The first Choshech, which is unique to Yavan, is way earlier in history. It doesn't in any way overlap or coincide with the historical period of the Nes of Chanukah. And this first darkness, which is again, as we said, the singular power of Yavan or impact that Yavan makes, is because Yavan is the Zelu Masev Knesset Yisrael with regard to the Havdalah. In other words, Klal Yisrael is separate from the nations, but now that separateness and that chosenness is being taken away by the Yevanim. And they're going to say that our nation is different than the other nations, so it's the Zelu Mazeh. Within this context, the Choshech of Yavan is turning to Klal Yisrael and saying with a pointed finger, you think you're the chosen people? We have the Torah. It's been translated to Greek. Anu Yisrael, Chazal say. The second Choshech, on the other hand, which is also unique to Yavan and plays the role of Zelu Mazeh, is because of Knesset Yisrael's exceptional Chachma, and the Yevanim now want to impose their Chachma onto the Chachma of Knesset Yisrael, It's strange that under the concept of Choshech we find two seemingly irrelevant concepts. One is the concept of translation of the Torah into Greek, and the other is to take Chachma and proclaim that your Chachma, the Chachma of the Greeks, is superior and trumps the Chachma of Klal Yisrael. The first one touches on the Havdalah issue, meaning the people of Israel as a chosen nation. If they're going to claim they're chosen, what is their right to that claim? It's the Torah. The Torah is translated into Greek. Whereas the second dimension of the war, the battle that's being waged by Yavin against Klal Yisrael, is Chachma, is on the level of Chachma. We say the Greeks have the Chachma. And we're going to take this Chachma, we're going to shove it down your throat until we can undermine your Chachma. That's what they say to Klal Yisrael. But in truth, when we come down to the fundamental Yisod of these Inyanim, we will see that when human morality is unwilling to accept the morality of the Torah, of the Jewish religion, we have rishus. When there's an immorality, we have rishus. Those who rebel against the Torah, against the religion and the God of Israel, through actions and through midos of their nefesh, all that constitutes rishus. But there's another concept, and that reflects a confrontation on the level of deos and amunos. When these people rise up and undermine the religion of Torah, the religion of Israel, that's not rishus, that's minus. That's mumrus. There's a halacha of a mumar. And the status of a mumar is different than the status of a rasha. With regard to mumrus, we find a phrase in Chazal, Harei Hu Kinochri. That means that the mumar, in some sense, has the status of a goy. That's the power of mumrus. And this is based on a source which I want to mention to you here from the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Lamed. There's also Rambam in Hilchos Gerushin and Perek Gimel. All these halachas that the Rambam codifies are about mumrus. Now, we want to compare and contrast rishus to mumrus. Again, rishus, as we said, is the violation of the das of the Torah, and mumrus is a result of deos, of accepting philosophical beliefs that are antithetical to the religion of the Torah. That's called minus, mumrus. So the Chiddush in the name mumrus, or in the concept or definition of status of a mumar, as opposed to that of a rasha, is the connection with mumrus is mishpat. I'm sorry, is the statement Harei Hu Kinochri. In other words, whereas rishus is rishus, but there's no declaration of a status of a rosh as a guy, in the case of mumrus, that's a case where someone has antithetical hashkafas and views to the Torah, there's a tendency of pushing such an individual out of the realm of Klal Yisrael, Harei Kinochri, treat him like a guy, he has all the dinim of a guy. And perhaps now we can come back to the two types of choshech that we spoke about, that Yavan brought to this world a double choshech, and that darkens the world of Israel. This nation, in its battle of Chachma against Chachmas HaTorah, is prepared to cause mumrus. Mumrus means an acceptance of beliefs that are heretical and antithetical to the das, to the religion of Israel, of the Torah. And And within their conflict of Chachma against Chachma, they, to the extent they're successful, and with their program of persecution, of religious persecution, they will generate mumras in Yisrael. Jews are sucked into this spiral of mumras in terms of Deos Vemunas Benigud L'dasa Shel Torah. And therefore we find in this context of mumras the statement in Chazal, Harei Hu Kenachri, that this individual became a mumar, is to be treated as a guy as far as the halacha is concerned. And yet, this nation of Yavan has as its goal to, as we said before, tishtush, to confuse and blur the sharp contrast between Yisrael and the Amid. So it comes out that when the Yavanim being pogea in the deos of Knesset Yisrael, what they're trying to do, therefore, is to obliterate the distinction between Yisrael and the nations. So let's try to clarify why the two categories of Choshech are really two sides of the same coin. They're not, radically different one from the other. The first Choshech is to undermine the Havdalah of Yisrael Lahamim and point the finger at the Jews and say, you claim you're the chosen people? No, we're the chosen people. We have access to the Torah. And the second Choshech is the Chachma of Yavan against the Chachma of Yisrael. That's Lakhisham, Lashkicham Torah Secha, means the campaign of the Yavanim to undermine the Chachmas HaTorah. And by doing so, they engender a belief of deos v'amunas that are absolutely antithetical to the religion, to the deos of Torah. And therefore, once again, we have something called mumris, which is harei kenachri. And once again, we're really just undermining the Havdalah ben Yisrael l'Amim. So one choshech and the other choshech are all the same, whether it's the choshech of Yavan claiming we are the chosen people, or whether it's the choshech of the Gzeirah Shmad and the persecution against the Jewish people to remove and undermine their Chochmas HaTorah and make them into Mumrim, which means Kenachrim, and if they're Kenachrim, they don't have the status of Yisrael, of the chosen people, the separate people. And within this context of a Mumar, who's Harehu Kenachri, which is a status that shall we say, lands upon a Jewish a person through any sort of mumris, that's not a pegia in the ability of Klal Yisrael to propagate and to give birth to children who will be Jewish. The Vlad, the child of a Mumar, even if the Mumar is married to Mumeres, is still Yisrael. He has the complete status of a Jew like any other Jew, and there's no difference in terms of the aspect or the Nakuda of Kedushas Yisrael. The children of Mumrim have the same identical Kedush Yisrael as the children of the greatest Tzaddikim. So, in this place where we find a high profile an expression of the rule of Yisrael, Afishachat Yisrael, who the greatest or most intense or high profile, profound example and demonstration of Achal Pi Yisrael, Afishachat Yisrael, is in the next generation. The fact that a Mumar could get married and have children, those children are Jewish with the same Kedushas Yisrael as the son of the Kohen Gadol. And therefore, in a sense, the Koach HaLada, meaning the ability of each individual Jew to have children, really in a sense carries on its shoulders the entire belief in the vision of the eternity of the people of Israel. And that power to have children remains steadfast despite all the dinim that equate the status of a mumar with that of a nachri. That's irrelevant, because even after the mumars, the children still have the status of Kedushas Yisrael. And therefore we can begin to understand that just as we found that the face of Yavan in the Zelum Azev Knesset Yisrael is to claim you, the Jews, are not the chosen people, we are the chosen people. And that face, as we call it a partsuf in Hebrew, is to mar the difference between Knesset Yisrael and the other nations, and really demonstrate that Klal Yisrael are no different than the other nations. And all this is a result of the program of the Yavanim to get the Jewish people to forego their religion. And we now begin to see that the program of the Greeks was not just to engender mumras and get the Jews to be shochach Torah some, give up on their Torah. But beyond that, the Greeks wanted to undermine the ability of the Jewish people to propagate, to bring in children that would have Kedushas Yisrael. It's not enough for the Greeks that they created a mumar or a mumeres, but it doesn't matter, because the mumar and the mumeres could marry each other halachically and have a Jewish child. This is the basis for the gzera of Yavan, of Tiboil, Besulis Yisrael, Tiboil lehegmon tchila. Besulis shenisseis Tiboil lehegmon tchila should be seen in this light, from the perspective of being metashtesh, from erasing and eradicating the havdalah between Klal Yisrael and the Umas Ha'olam. We've gone as far as to impose gzeros on the Jewish people. And that religious persecution, if the Greeks are successful, will bring a Jew to become a mumar. But the fact that he's a mumar doesn't mean he can't propagate Jews and bring Jews to the world through his marriage, even to a mumeres, because Yisrael af bishachot Yisrael hu. So now the Greeks have to go one step further. They have to make a decree, which is not related to the religious observance of a Jew and his dedication to Torah, but rather to his ability to pass on to the next generation the status of a Jew. And that's what it means, Tiboil Hegman Tchila. And within this perspective, the gzera of Tiboil Hegman Tchila is not to be classified as arayos. It's not a matter of sexual passion, but primarily what it is and what it's motivated by is the magama, that means the goal of the Yavanim to undermine the Havdalah, the separate chosenness of the Jewish nation, by being ma'ari, by mixing in the koach of Yavan into the very procreative process, to the mahalach of Holada. And in doing so, once again, to undermine the separateness of the Jewish people from the nation. Because the child, obviously, will no longer be purely Jewish. And this entire, stream of, I don't know what to call it, this movement to create Nachrius, that is the next step after Mumrus. So there's Mumrus and Nachrius. To remove the Jew from his status as a special nation. And therefore, the program of the Yavanim against Yisrael reveals itself in these three different ways. Number one, first and foremost, by translating the Torah into Greek in order to achieve the goal of claiming on behalf of the Greeks, Anu Yisrael. And a second element in the program of the Greeks against the Jews is to create a situation where the Jew is a Nochri, and that's through all the Xeros of Shikhas, Hashkochas HaTorah, of Havaras HaDas, and all of Shmad. And number three, to take the power of Yavon and inject it into Netzach Yisrael, Chas V'Shalom, through the Xer of Tibor HaHegmon Tchilo. And all of these really are included under the very simple sentence of Zeh L'Uma Zeh, Yavon versus Knesset Yisrael, which fundamentally means Yavon against, opposed to, and trying to undermine the Havdalah of Yisrael from the Amim, to obliterate the special status of the Jew as a separate nation, as a separate people with their claim to chosenness. This is really what the Maral means when he says that the conflict between Yavon and Knesset Yisrael's mitzad ha'chokhma shayeches hi liyavon yosim l'shar umos l'chein hayu hei muchanim l'snagid l'chokhmasim shal Yisrael b'yichud. What makes the Greeks so unique is their pursuit of chokhma and their mastery of knowledge and science more than any other nation, and therefore they were prepared to battle against the chokhma of Yisrael and to specify, single out the Jewish people for persecution because they couldn't possibly tolerate, says the Maral, the claim of the Jews to their unique chokhma. And this svara of the Maral really clarifies for us the deeper meaning of the Yonasi, which is a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, which Chazal say that Yonasi is a reference to Yavon. And it's not just because of the letters, but it's because Knesset Yisrael is called the dove, being the beloved of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yonasi, and that's what the Greeks can't tolerate. They're going to battle against that. The whole essence of Golus Yavon is to remove Yonasi. You are not the chosen turtle dove of God. And that's why Chazal always point out that the period of Golus Yavon coincides entirely with the period of Beis HaMikdash Al Mechona, which means that Yavon is not going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, but rather they are going to defile the Beis HaMikdash. Bo Prisim V'chilaluha, which is a pasuk in Yechezkel HaNavi. They will not destroy the Mikdash, they will defile the Mikdash. They will not take the shemen of the menorah and pour it on the ground and basically utterly decimate it and destroy it, but rather they will contaminate the shemen shebimikdash. V'timu kol hashmonim. This direction, this program, evolves from or emanates from the general, shall we say, status or the character of Yavon, the face of Yavon towards Knesset Yisrael. They're not objecting to the existence of Knesset Yisrael. It's not like in Haman's Lahar Glash Melaveh. Their objection is to the Avdolas Yisrael Bein Ha'amim. And therefore, what they want to do is to be machal the Kodesh, desecrate that which is holy, to be metami the Taros, and contaminate that which is pure, in order to gain and achieve their goal of erasing the unique status or the separation of the Jewish people, of Kodesh versus Chol, of Tar versus Tomei, of Yonasi. All that is not tolerated by the Greeks. They, Zelu Mazeh, want to say, we are Yisrael. And they'll do so by taking the Torah, translating it, and obtaining it for their own. They'll do that by imposing religious persecution in Gzeirah Shmad. They will try to get Klal Yisrael to become Mumrim. But that's not enough. They'll try to inject their Nachrius into Klal Yisrael with the Gzeirah of Tibol HaHegmon Tchila. In all these different facets, these are manifestations of the will and the program of Yavon to reign supreme as Chachma and to defy and deny any supreme or special nature of Klal Yisrael, that claim of the Jewish people to separateness is what engenders the most hisnagdus, the intolerable sense of the Yevonim, because the Yevonim, by their very nature, want to claim we have Chochmah, we have something superior, we are unique on the face of the earth. And therefore they have to get the Jews to become mumrim, they have to get the Jews to be unable to propagate and pass on that Jewishness to the next generation. They have to make it crystal clear that whatever claims that the Jews have to specialness, we can do better than that, one up them. We have the Torah too. We have the superior knowledge. And we are going to force the Jewish people to be Shocheach Torah. If the Jews are claiming that we are chosen because we have a special sanctity, we, the Yevonim, are going to desecrate that sanctity. Bo Pritzim V'Chalalua. All this is the campaign of the Greeks to defile and to contaminate anything which is holy, anything which is being used in the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash now becomes the prime target of the program of religious persecution of the Greeks, not to destroy the Mikdash, that they're not interested in, but rather to destroy the holiness of the Beis HaMikdash, to destroy and desecrate its kedusha, its sanctity. That's going to be a part of the program, because if the Jews have any way of demonstrating their separateness and their claim to being chosen, it is the Beis HaMikdash, because that is the spitz, the apex of kedusha. The Greeks are going to, in their program, defile that, bring in the pigs, and just contaminate the Beis HaMikdash. Don't let the Jews wave the banner of the Beis HaMikdash as their claim to the holy nation, to the special nation, to the chosen people. That's what we have to obliterate. That was the program of the Yevonim, and that was the Zelu Maseh. If there is Avdolah Ben Amim, it's us, says the Greeks. We are the other Polichim. We are the real, true, genuine, chosen people. And we are Yisrael. And the proof is that we have the access to the Torah. The proof is because the Jews already mumrim. The proof is that we, the Greeks, have been able to put our kochos into the very lineage, into the very lifeblood of Knesset Yisrael. The Jews are down. They have no claim to be a special nation. And the Purkan of Chanukah is so great because the picture is so bleak, because the program of the Greeks is so harsh and so powerful. And therefore, we look to Chanukah for the strength and the optimism, the faith to believe in Knesset Yisrael, Atav Echartonim Kol Amim, we are chosen, the Havdolas Yisrael Ben Amim, the Kedusha, the Tara of Knesset Yisrael. These are the things that we have to emphasize, and it's no coincidence that, according to the Ramban, in the name of the Medrash, at the beginning of Baloscha, the Chanukah Samizbeach, the Chanukah Beis Chashmonaim, is even superior to the Chanukah of the Nesiim when they dedicated the Beis HaMikdash and the Mizbeach, because the Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash can be defiled, and the Ner Chanukah is just the opposite. It represents the permanence and the eternity of our Kedush and our Tara. They found one Pach Shemen Tor, and that one Pach is going to be the flag that we wave, the symbol that represents the continuity of Knesset Yisrael as being Avdolah Ben Amim, being the special people. We are the nation with Tara. We light the candles of Chanukah to demonstrate that we are the unique people, and we always eternally will be so.